You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire.
We're going to continue with the kids in Dahui. Last week, I was looking into the start of term two. I gave my little cousins a call who are under Dahui in their home in Waitakere to see how their first day of term went. The main issue, it seems, to them was that they didn't get to see their friends during the school day, which I thought was pretty cute, but also points to the social skills that one builds during school. I started by talking to Beatrix and then finished talking to Winter, but I started by asking what year B is at school.
I'm year 7.
And what is your normal favourite subject at work at school?
Probably food tech and dance.
Okay, so food tech and dance. Do you get to do that at home?
We've been doing some baking for food tech. But
as part of school?
Yeah, kind of.
Or like with your family?
With my family.
Brilliant. So school started yesterday, right? How did your first day go?
It was pretty good.
What did you do?
We did a thing called Education Perfect on our computers.
Was it like a program?
Yeah.
And what did you do on the program?
We had, like, lessons of, like, English and science. I did mostly science yesterday.
And what did you have to do for science?
We learned about adaptations.
What's an adaptation? Can you teach me?
When a creature, a living thing, changes its self to survive.
Oh, wow. That's very, very topical and relevant to right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good teaching. So how was it in terms of, you know, like having to do work at home? Did it feel weird?
Kind of. Like, we weren't with the rest of our class and it was just weird.
Did that make you sad?
Yeah.
Did you get to talk to the other kids?
No.
Oh, so it's kind of just one-on-one?
Yeah.
Did you have any other classes?
No, I just did science.
And how long did it go for?
We started at about 9 and did 45 minutes and then had a 15-minute break and did 45 minutes and had a 2-hour break. And then we did 2 more hours of school.
Wow.
And we finished at 3.
That's like a full day.
Yeah.
Are you excited for your day today?
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you for speaking with us.
It's okay. Thank you.
Hello. Hi. Hello.
Hi.
Shall we start with what year level are you in?
I'm year 10.
And you had your first day of school yesterday, yeah?
Yeah.
How was it?
Boring.
Okay. How come?
Because there's no one else in the class.
As in your friends, you can't talk to your friends?
Yeah, like I can't sit with people my age and socialise.
Socialise while you're learning?
Yeah.
And you also, I guess, can't work in groups.
Yeah.
What subjects were you learning yesterday?
Yesterday I was doing a lot of English on Education Perfect, which is like an online thing to do work.
And is it your like normal teacher that teaches you?
Yeah, all our teachers send through emails with the work we need to be doing at home.
Wow. What other subjects did you have to do yesterday, or was it just English?
I did a bit of first aid for our house class.
Oh, cool.
And I started on an Education Perfect activity for science.
Brilliant. What's your normal, like at school, when you're at school normally, what's your favourite subjects?
Probably English.
Oh, well, great start to the term then.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bea and Winter. This chat was last week, and their mum had told me that they were appreciating the shift back into a routine. This week, though, it's been a little more difficult. Their mum talked about figuring out how they work, the two different platforms they're being given work on, plus the emails. The challenges are unprecedented, I should say, and this is important to acknowledge for children, for parents, and for teachers. Emily writes as an author and columnist for the spin-off Parents, as well as a mum of two. Last week, she wrote about the way online learning is a major shift in education and that we shouldn't put so much pressure on kids, teachers or parents at this moment. I asked her what her initial response to that online shift was.
For a lot of families, moving to online learning isn't a really simple thing. You know, my children are really lucky that we have one device to share, but a lot of families don't have that, and we're really seeing that in our school community. And I think that I was really thrilled that our school said until all of the kids have their devices, we won't be doing online learning, like doing Zoom calls and that kind of thing. And I think that's really crucial, that for some kids, you know, they're really not able to access what all other kids are doing. And then I guess the other thing is that it's putting a lot on children to just suddenly feel comfortable being on screens, doing video calls. It's really interesting to have been in this position where you're constantly being told, keep your kids off screens, and now, a couple of weeks later, put your kids on screens. You know, it's a really confusing time for parents, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess with that sort of the sudden change, I guess, but also overall, like, we're in this kind of major time of change and nothing is quite what we're used to, I suppose. And one of the big things in your column that you pointed out too was acknowledging that kids are not necessarily going to fall behind during this time. Would you be able to explain that a bit?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think parents are, you know, I totally understand that parents are worried that their children will fall behind. We all absolutely want the best for our children, and, you know, we don't want them to struggle at school or anything like that. But there's no evidence that children will fall behind from being at home. And I think there is evidence to show that children who are forced into learning when they're really stressed out and really struggling, that that is harmful for them. I think that for under 10s, they're still learning how to be learners, if that makes sense. They are learning to listen and read and write and all these things, and they need to have joy in that. And having stressed parents saying you have to do this for an hour while their parents are trying to work at the same time, none of this is going to help with learning. It's just going to stress everybody out. Mm. So I think that, you know, it's really important that parents give themselves a break, but they also give their kids a break too. You know, over Christmas, when you have your kids out, if you take them out for like a tonguey and you're away for 2 weeks or something like that, we don't worry then about them falling behind. It has only been a month. I think parents need to just take a deep breath and say, all kids are in this together and it's going to be okay, and just remove some of that pressure from children.
And I guess where it's possible, your recent column also touched on, I guess, other learning that could happen in this space.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like, I'm not a teacher at all, and I don't want to be because it's far too hard a job. It's much easier being a writer. but I think that what I'm trying to do is I take my kids for walks, we count teddy bears in the windows, we look at different plants, and, you know, we do a bit of singing as we're walking, like about the colours, or, you know, to me that's just as important. They're getting fresh air. It's an environment where there isn't that pressure. And so you are getting to learn that way. You know, when I see my child do play Lego for an hour, you know, he's learning then as well. You know, like, he's learning about being independent, thinking about where things go, thinking about sequencing. There are all these things that kids are learning as long as they're reading to them and talking to them. You know, it's going to be okay. That was a learning opportunity.
And on that note of teaching being an incredibly difficult and incredible, very important profession, in this time, teachers are also being asked to kind of, you know, have to adapt very quickly and provide much more. So what would you have to say in terms of what teachers are doing at this point?
Oh, I really, really feel for teachers right now. I think a lot of people forget that teachers have family as well, so they have been at home with their kids trying to keep them entertained while also having this immense worry for all the children in their class, especially the ones that don't have resources, that have housing instability, that don't have as much access to even basics like food. You know, my husband's a teacher aide, and that's been a huge concern to him. He's been, you know, desperately waiting for the level three so that he can start going out delivering packs for these kids who don't have printers, don't have internet. You know, I think that parents have to really look at their bubble, and but also look at their privilege bubble, if that makes sense. Really start thinking, what should a teacher's priority be right now? And it's actually the kids that need help the most, the ones that might not have internet or even housing right now. So I really hope that people will be patient with teachers right now, and I just really want to hug all teachers and get them paid $1 million a year, because they really deserve it. And, you know, a lot of teachers have never had to use technology like Zoom and things like that. And, you know, my husband has never used a video call before, and he's just had to start doing that. And, you know, I think those of us who are used to using those platforms find them frustrating, let alone using them for the first time. You know, so I hope that everyone will kind of extend that patience and kindness to teachers and just recognise that your teacher is doing everything they can for your kids. Mm. So just take a deep breath and be nice to them, really, I hope.
And I guess that's the sort of the takeaway message, right, is doing the best with what we have, I suppose, at this point. And there are a lot of people that do have the means to continue, whereas there are a lot of others who don't have those means. This might be probably a difficult question to answer, but I guess what could people be doing for students, or even just, you know, in terms of thinking about the disadvantaged positions that people are in, and students are in, and kids are in at this time who don't have that access?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think there's a lot that parents can do to talk to their kids about inequality at this time, at any time. But they can also think about ways to keep their kids connected with other kids in their class. So, you know, my kids are writing letters. They've got a big stack ready to walk around and put into mailboxes once we go into the next level. I had another parent put a big stack of printed worksheets in my letterbox for my husband to take around to parents who don't have printers. You know, it's quite a simple thing that you get emailed a lot of things to print off for your kids, but if you don't have a printer, how do they do it if you don't have access to email? You know, so it's starting to think, maybe if you're buying online a workbook for your child or like some colouring pencils, maybe if you can afford it, you could buy a second pack of colouring pencils and drop it off at the house of your teacher if you know where they live, or even the school, so that those resources can be given out to kids who really need them. It's a great lesson for your kids as well to know how lucky they are, what they have, and how giving and showing menaki, how that's really important to being like a good global citizen.
That was Emily Wrights along with Winter and Beatrix at the top there.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.